Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve, who is back on Monday. Who's back today? Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett, back from his whirlwind trip to Europe, to Norway, to Copenhagen. He is back in the chair. Good to see you, Dave.
Thank you, Justin. Great to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we're a little bit later this hour, we're going to get the travelogue. We'll get Dave to explain the trip and all the great things that happened in the last couple weeks. It's good to have you back, man.
Thanks. Yeah. Great to be back.
And you
missed
you
guys.
You came back right before the 4th, or right on the 4th, right?
Which, you know, it's so weird. came back too early to see the fireworks from the plane.
Oh, that would have been great.
Would have been fun.
Well, happy 4th, and good to have you back. Mary Vandeveld's here. Steve Grzanich. The whole team is here, and we're ready to get started. I hope you are having a great morning. I hope you're having a great Friday, doing whatever you got to do today, whether that means an extra extended vacation weekend, or possibly to work like us, or just a regular Friday. Whatever you got to do, I hope you're doing it.
And the weather will be nicer.
That's right. It looks like a beautiful day out today. So lots to do today. We got a huge show lined up. Father Flager is going to join us, talk about his planned protest to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway tomorrow. We're also going to talk with Boots Riley, the first-time director of the film Sorry to Bother You, which is the hit of the summer right now. Indie comedy that's just coming out this weekend. The New York Times, the LA Times, Variety, all the big places are giving rave reviews. I saw the movie. Tremendous. We'll talk with Boots Riley about his new film, Sorry to Bother You. Also, so much more to do. We got the Chicago Accent Challenge. We're going to talk entertainment. We've got so much to do today. I don't know how we're going to do it, so let's keep the trains running on time. Let's start with the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, let's kick it off. The embattled EPA Chief Scott Pruitt resigned yesterday, citing, quote, unrelenting attacks from who? The media? The left? Or his calendar items coming back from the dead to harass him in his sleep. Why did you erase me? Or the first-class airfare, the sound booth in his office, the strange conflicts of interest with lobbyists who rented him cheap housing. Which attack are we talking about here?
Telling your workers to go get you a used Trump mattress?
Is that the attack?
I don't know.
He'll be replaced by former coal lobbyist and EPA deputy Andrew Wheeler, a coal lobbyist running the Environmental Protection Agency. 2018. Father Michael Flager's moving forward with plans to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway on Saturday morning. Police tried to talk him out of it, citing safety concerns and mass arrests, but they're moving forward. Flager expects over 1,000 people to shut down traffic to protest gun violence in Chicago. Wow. You know, what's interesting about this story is that I have a personal stake. My mother-in-law is coming in for a play on Saturday, so now it's personal. She's got to take the Dan Ryan. Otherwise, you know, I'd be all okay for. I'd be okay with it, but now, you know, what time she gets in, when we're gonna have lunch, all that kind of stuff. So I got to figure it out. Alternate travel,
right?
That's why. Hey. Now it's personal. Now it's personal. But we'll talk with Father Flager coming up. Governor Rauner's come out against Arthur Jones, the Nazi candidate running for Republican for Congress. The story from Politico asked the governor why he didn't take more of a stand against Jones after Jones won the nomination. The governor has taken national criticism for not telling Republican voters to vote against this dude. The governor came out yesterday and said, no, vote for anybody. Anybody else. Do not vote for this guy. So there you go. He's on point. Arthur Jones is going up against Democrat incumbent Dan Lipinski. A new report says that Android apps could be spying on you. They have the ability and permission to take screenshots of your phone and send that data to themselves. What?
What?
When hearing this, Apple was like, we can do that too, just in several cooler colors.
Great.
They have the permission. Android works with, that's how this all works, of course, when you work with app developers. That's how the Facebook stuff happened with Cambridge Analytics, all that. But what's happening here is that they have the ability, and they say it's for research purposes, to screenshot or video shot your phone, what's on your screen, and be able to use that data for whatever they say they need that data for. So there you go. So if you thought you were safe, you're not. Don't look now. The Cubs are in the middle of a month of day baseball at Wrigley Field. This is a great story. They don't have another night game until after the All-Star break. And the last time they had a night game was a couple weeks back when they had that doubleheader against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They are in the middle of a day stretch at Wrigley Field. How glorious.
Except for the heat wave.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the hot weather, but it's coincided with the best baseball they've played.
There you go,
during the stretch, right?
I like it. I'm a purist in that regard. I like the day games at Wrigley Field, and it's fun to see because I felt in the last couple of years they've been doing everything they possibly can to squeeze extra day games.
Well, see, you're not old enough, Justin, to remember when that's all they played at Wrigley Field, but I am, and that's what life was.
I remember being a teenager watching Greg Maddux do the water slide across the tarp on the first night.
8888.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So.
30 years ago.
Is this because there's night concerts?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
It's been
a confluence
of scheduling quirks that have led to this.
Yeah, I mean, but it's great. Day baseball at Wrigley.
That's
how it should be. And finally, NASA this is interesting. She reportedly had found extraterrestrial meteors at the bottom of the ocean. I guess this is the meteor from March. They know where it hit. They've been exploring, and they found pieces of a meteor, which is the beginning scene of every sci-fi alien horror movie. When they go down and they're in their suit and they're like, we found it. You know that's just going to end bad. So just leave it down there. Leave it alone. That's my public service announcement for July 6th.
They're not going to leave it alone.
I've seen too many movies. Leave it alone.
It could have answers to the biggest questions of the universe.
And it also could have weird worms that get into your ears and kill us all. So leave it alone. Leave it alone. That's my thought. Okay, that's a 6 and 6.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right. Coming up, Lou Manfredini. It's going to be good. Mr. Fix-It. Lou's first call. If you want to be that caller, 312-981-7200. If you got a question for Lou Manfredini, that's coming up after we find out what is going on in the 630 News. Steve Grzanich.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time. Yes, indeed. It's time for Lou Manfredini's first call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Lou's on the line. Lou, how are you, bud?
I'm great. Good morning to all of you. Happy Friday to all of you.
Yeah, happy Friday. All right, so we'll get into this. We already got the lines light up when it's time for Lou's first call. And let's do it. Let's go ahead and bring in Marco. Marco, we lost Lou.
Yes.
Marco, you're online. No, yep, we just lost Lou, but we'll bring him back in just a second.
Okay.
Marco, where are you from?
From Deerfield, Illinois.
Okay, and you have a question for Lou Manfredini this morning. Did you early on in today, you said, I got to get up early because I need to talk to Lou?
Kind of, yeah. I was thinking about it, so I figured I'd go into work early and get out early, but then I listen to you guys every morning anyhow. So
all right, there you go. So,
I did have a question. So.
All right, so we'll get Lou back on the line.
We can answer it.
Yeah.
Come on, run it by us, Marco.
Yeah. Well, right. My driveway's got some big cracks in it.
That's enough.
That's enough.
All right, before I bring Lou's back on, I just want to make sure Pete's got the phones. I think it's a locking issue when we have two phones on that one of them cancels. So I think I'm going to put you on hold real quick, Marco, and then I'm going to go ahead and double-click you and then click in Lou Manfredini. Lou, you there?
You got it.
All right, Marco, you there?
Yes, I was really waiting for you guys to answer that question.
Yeah, we tried really hard.
They don't need me.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to steal your thunder, Lou.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lou.
All right, Marco, what's your question, bud?
I have a blacktop driveway that's probably about 8 years old or something like that. It's starting to get some cracks in it. I was wondering what product I could use to fill those cracks in. And the deeper cracks, do I put sand in the cracks first and then use some type of caulk or sealant or...
Yeah, the deeper cracks you could fill with some type of sand just so that you're not using as much of the crack filler. You can buy, there's a bunch of different manufacturers out there. The one that I've used for years that I really like is called Black Jack is the brand name. They've been in the sealant and coating business for a long, long time, and they make a really nice complement of professional grade sealers for those crack fillers over the top. And you can do that deeper sand, as you mentioned. So you leave about an eighth of an inch left that you can fill in with the crack filler. And then once that dries, typically in a couple, 3 hours, I mean, it's been so hot. I mean, today it's a beautiful day, but you're going to get a lot of separation and movement out of asphalt. Once you do that, if you can seal coat over the top of everything, that sort of locks everything in. And what's real important for anybody listening with a blacktop driveway is that those cracks you see now, if you leave them untreated when winter comes, it'll just get worse. And so filling those and staying ahead of the game is really critical to trying to increase the overall life of your driveway.
There you go.
So would this be a good time of year to seal coat it also? Or should I wait for
Absolutely.
Fall?
Yeah. No, it's good. You know, the big thing is if it's really hot out, really hot and sunny like it's been the past few days, I'd avoid it because it dries too quickly. I mean, if you can do it, depending on the size of your driveway, in the evening when the sun is low, the one thing I would tell you, anybody that's going to do that seal coating themselves, and that black check, they make a good, better, best. Buy the best one you can buy, 5 gallon jugs. Use a pair of shoes that you don't care about because you're going to ruin them.
Right. And I take it I can buy the blackjack at Ace Hardware, right?
You absolutely can, my friend. You absolutely can.
There you go.
All right, thanks, Mark. All right. Thanks for being Lou's first call. Thank you, Marco. There we go. Pull him out of there. Lou, what do you got going on for this 4th of July holiday?
Well, I've actually been off this week with my family. Like Dave, I've got adult children, and so I have them all together, which is an amazing feat when you have four of them. So it's like a giant, it's like Christmas with the Manfredini house. So we're super excited to have everybody together.
That's amazing. That's great. Well, happy holidays to you and yours this weekend, Lou Manfredini. Lou's First Call, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Thanks, Lou.
See you guys.
See ya.
There you go. That's nice. That's nice that he gets
to. When you have adult kids, you have to, like, go through their social secretaries and stuff to get them all together for a few days.
Yeah, they tell you when you're going on vacation.
You'll get to that.
I'll get to that. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the news headlines. And coming up, Stuart, the cruise guy, is going to talk Hawaii. I guess because of this volcano, many people are staying away from the island, which is usually a peak time and a very expensive time to travel to Hawaii. But because the island wants to get more tourism, there are some deals. So Stuart, the cruise guy, on with us after the 6:30 news. So stay with us. Thanks, Steve. It is the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, filling in for Steve, who will be back on Monday. Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandeveld are here. And also joining us on the line is Stuart, the cruise guy, joins the show regularly. Of course, a contributor to mainstream media, talks a lot about vacations and cruises. He's currently in Hawaii, and this is an interesting story because Hawaii, of course, with the volcano, the Kilauea volcano, has been much maligned. I don't want to say maligned. It's not negative. It's just a natural disaster. But it's had some travel goers thinking twice about heading to the islands. Stuart Chiron is the travel guru, the cruise guy, and he joined us on the line. Stuart, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Morning, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So this is, I mean, did I sort of set it up the right way that there seems to be some trepidation from tourists to go to Hawaii because they think that they may be dealing with an active volcano?
Well, that's been the report that's been going on. And, you know, just about a 6 week time, I was on 5 cruises. I was in the Mediterranean. I was in Alaska on some brand new ships. I was in New York. And, you know, there were so many news reports that were talking about Kilauea. And I've been to Hawaii, you know, 9 times. And I knew that the story was being exaggerated and grossly, misreported. Business actually in Hawaii, the hotel business is down about 50% because people were so, I guess, you know, put off by, you know, the volcano because it just made it look like that, you know, Hilo and Kona were both under attack by this volcano and that, quote, it had just started erupting. Well, Kilauea has been erupting since January of 1983.
Right.
And it's the most active volcano in the world. What's interesting is what's happened is a new area has begun to erupt, and the volcano itself is on the very southeastern end of the island. It's well away from both Hilo and Kona, and I just couldn't believe it. So, you know, I've been telling people, look, I know where the volcano is, the lava is flowing south as it has been for over 35 years. It's just a new area has just opened up. And I just couldn't believe it. You know, talking to friends down, hoteliers on, let's say in Waikoloa, and I said, business. So they were telling me the business was down 50%, and we were seeing news reports where one of the networks was saying that Oahu was being evacuated.
Diamond
had been dead for thousands of years.
Right.
So I said Hawaii is perfectly safe, and so it's very hard to be able to tell people that something's safe or go ahead and bring your family. So if I didn't do it myself.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to be heading back to the Mediterranean on another cruise and bringing my family, and instead I decided I'm going to Hawaii. Why? Because, normally this time of the year you wouldn't think about going to Hawaii because it's too expensive. The hotels are booked, the airfare is booked, and so I was finding that there were some amazing deals, with the airlines. Airline seats with miles was available. And so, I got on the phone with American Airlines, and we booked our tickets, and decided I'm going to the Big Island. So I've been down to Kona. I was down there on July 4th, with some friends. I was actually on Pride of America, which is NCL's ship that does the 7-night Hawaiian Islands cruises. And Kona was normal, meaning it's the same fog that we've had forever.
There has been, Stuart, there have been reports of just the way that the I don't know what you call it, the debris that comes from volcanic ash that is being airborne, right, that it does get into the system in Hawaii and travels from island to island. Is that overblown as well, the idea that maybe some of the beauty and the majestic skyline, sunsets, things like that have been obscured? Is that an exaggeration as well?
Well, all I can tell you is, it's crystal clear up here in the Waikoloa area, which is north of Kona, and we're on the west side of the island. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I actually flew over the volcano, and we flew over Kilauea, just near the crater, which it's not a 13,000, 14,000 foot mountain like Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea are. It's a caldera, so it's just literally flat. The lava action had been at this the Pupu O'o vent, and now this fissure 8 has opened up, and that is what is erupting right now and going into the ocean.
Right.
It's so far and so remote, but there is the fog that is coming up, the smoke that comes up, it dissipates. Like I said, the western end of the island, Hilo, the captain of NCL's Pride of America, was saying it's as clear as it's been in 10 years. The last 3 weeks that they've returned back to the Big Island.
Stuart, what's your suggestion? What's your suggestion for people who might be listening right now and say, hey, I wasn't thinking about Hawaii. Should they think about a cruise? Should they think about all-inclusive? Like, what would be the best value for someone who would want to experience Hawaii while the prices have dropped?
Well, Justin, that's a great question. I would absolutely consider flying out here. There's a wonderful opportunity on the cruise. I know that there is an opportunity now. You can get, get on the horn. There's American Airlines. It's got plenty of flights out of Chicago. The cruises I've seen over the next several weeks, they've got starting prices at $899. They typically start about $1,600 to $1,700 per person in the summer, so that's a tremendous value. And because the ship's U.S. flagged, it doesn't have to visit a foreign port. So you get to go to spend 2 days in Maui. He goes to Hilo, Kona, spend 2 days on the Big in Kauai, and then you head back to Honolulu. But I love it so much, and Chicago is a huge source for visitors to Hawaii. become its state. I mean, the Hilton Waikoloa Village, for example, has got some unbelievable opportunities. It's wow. I mean, if you love golf, tennis, hiking, and just, you know, like I said, I mean, you can hop on the helicopters. You can go see nature at its best. The lava is flowing out of the tube. So we saw the river of lava flowing into the ocean.
Wow.
Yesterday, and it was spectacular. So there's plenty of opportunities to do it either way. Head to the, you know, go visit some of the other islands, but to be able to see Mother Nature at its great and watching land being created, it's something that people, few people get an opportunity to do. And the other islands are really being, you know, they're not impacted by the gases that are coming out of the volcano. It's a very, out of 4,028 square miles, only 10 square miles are being impacted. It's nothing.
Stuart Sheeran is the cruise guy. You can find him on Twitter at cruise guy. Stuart, thanks for joining us here on the Cochran Show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Justin. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, there you go. A little info on Hawaii and the deals that are happening because of the impacts of that volcano. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to get an update on what's coming up in the news. And then we come back, we'll talk a little bit with Dave about his awesome trip to Norway and also get you up to speed on all the things that are happening this morning. It's the Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. What do we got coming up at 7 o'clock? Steve Grzanich.
Justin, there has been a fatality in the mission to rescue those 12 boys from the cave in Thailand involving one of the divers who went in to help. We will have that story at 7 o'clock from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
And traffic sponsored by Aruba Tourism on the Edens. That's fine. No delays on the Kennedy. Inbound Eisenhower, though, some heavy delays in from about Independence 36 from 53 from Mannheim 24. Inbound Stevenson 40 from the Tri-State, where it's slow from Harlem into Kedzie. Inbound on the Rhine about 18 minutes from 95th. Bishop Ford is looking good, along with 57 in the tollways accident in Chicago, Pulaski and Madison, and in Lombard North and 53. Be one happy family on one happy island. Vacation in sunny Aruba with accommodations to fit every family size and budget. Plan your happy escape to Aruba today at Aruba.com. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
And Mary's report sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You guys, Steve is back on Monday. He is upstate New York. Took the trip. I believe he's there, probably. He told us on Tuesday he was going to be leaving, I think, on Thursday to get to upstate New York today. So hopefully he's there and listening and judging us, Dave.
I'm sure he is.
Dave Ennett is back. How great is that? Dave Ennett was gone for the last week or so on a whirlwind trip that took him to Copenhagen and to Norway. So first off, everybody has asked already. I feel like the big question off air is just there's no nighttime, right? I mean, in Norway, yeah. It is the time of year where it is sunny all the time.
It is. I mean, it's like a sunset is actually, we were in the last stop, Bergen, Norway, actually a town south of there, several hours south of there, along a fjord, Balestrand, Norway. And we spent a couple of nights there, and the sunset, I believe, was 11:20 something.
Wow.
But if you looked out the window,
still,
I mean, we had the curtains drawn in the room trying to go to sleep around 11:30 or so, but you could see the light coming in. It looks like morning, right?
Did it force you to stay up? Were you like,
no,
get messed up?
No, because we were so active,
yeah, right,
doing so many activities all day long. But it is odd. It's, I mean, 10 o'clock, the sun is bright. It's still like, I mean, think about it. It's a 7-hour difference, but it doesn't translate as far as sunlight.
Right, right.
Basically, it's pitch dark for maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours. By 3 o'clock, the sun's coming up.
So do you have to wear sunscreen like 24/7?
Well, I do that anyway, Mary.
Yeah,
that's
well,
just
you do,
a
but
little
yeah.
quirky behavior by me. But yeah, I mean, you have to always be cognizant of it because, plus, here's the other thing. And Steve Bertrand Travel was the organization we went with, some great WGN listeners. but we did not see a cloud ever. We're 10 days.
No rain?
We saw one, no rain, zero.
Wow.
We saw one wispy cloud one day, and that was it.
I mean, you documented it?
It was just unbelievable. And there's the sky in Norway. The only way to describe it, I mean, I've been to Montana. I've spent a lot of time in Colorado. And you get out to the west, and it's been a day here where a bright blue sky over Lake Michigan. But there's a certain blueness in the sky there that I've never seen. And it was just, it takes your breath away. It really does.
What would you say is that was the highlight? What was the one thing in your trip to Norway and Copenhagen? I mean, where was the spot that you were like, this is something that I will remember forever?
Well, I think it was cruising through the fjords from Oslo to Balestrand, and then from there another boat up to Bergen, which was our last stop before we flew back to Copenhagen. And actually, my wife, and we had my son and his wife with us, and we went out kayaking in the fjords. And it's just, you keep looking around, and you're like, am I like on a movie set or something? Because nothing can possibly look this beautiful. I had been to Norway once before for the Olympics in 1994, but it was the middle of winter. I went right to Lillehammer in that area, and I didn't get to really see the country. Always wanted to go back, and boy, I'm glad I did.
It's
just...
Well, that's great. The pictures are great. It was awesome to see you in a kayak.
it was awesome to see me in a kayak that did not capsize.
Dave, does the reindeer taste like chicken, or does the chicken taste like reindeer?
That's a good question, Steve. Who knows? You might have the opportunity to try some.
Uh-oh.
Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
That's awesome, man.
So snacks are on the way.
Snacks are...
Potentially.
Right. Okay.
Grilled snacks.
And I'm sure they'll be healthy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, awesome to have you back, bud.
Thanks. It's great to be back. Yeah. I missed everybody, but if you ever have the chance, do it.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to that. I'm already have two hands on the computer looking at deals. There's so many deals.
Got to go. I mean, my husband's like 100% Norwegian almost.
Well, then you got to go, right?
I know. I got to go. I really wanted to go on that trip, but it just didn't happen.
Well, you know who else is Big O.
Oh, for sure.
And
oof, duh.
I didn't know there's so many Norwegians on this crew. That's nice. Mary, you got to go.
I know. And all my kids are so Norwegian. They all have blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, they all look very Norwegian.
I know it's tough, but I think I might be mistaken, but I think Steve Bertrand is right next to you. Yes. Where he will be in an hour is he is one microphone over. So maybe ask him about it.
Well, yeah, I know. I actually have, so...
All right, there you go.
You're ahead
of the Hopefully in the future.
All right, coming up, we got a great show lined up here in the 7 o'clock hour. Elise Glink's going to join us coming up at 7 o'clock. And we're going to talk about the largest rents, the highest rents around the country, the biggest neighborhoods, hottest neighborhoods, and how your rent compares to some of the other cities in this country. It's pretty astounding how expensive it's all become. Like, not just one, it's just all the way across the board. But we'll talk with Elise Glink about that. Also coming up a little bit later, Father Michael Flager joins us from St. Sabina Church to talk about his planned protest of Chicago violence, and he is shutting down the Dan Ryan Expressway. This would be Saturday morning. Techs are already coming in with their thoughts on it. But a real eye-opener, and of course the Chicago Police and the Illinois State Police, they have asked Father Flager to not do this. They've tried to reason with him. They've cited safety concerns. They also have threatened mass arrests. But this is something that Father Flager says is just the beginning when it comes to protesting Chicago violence and what he perceives as the lack of resources and, I guess, action by City of Chicago when it comes to violence. So we'll have that conversation coming up. And Boots Riley joins us. A new film, Sorry to Bother You, which is getting rave reviews, starring Lakeith Stanfield. This is the telemarketer movie where he uses an overdubbed white voice, and when doing so, played by David Cross, and by doing so, becomes a power caller. He becomes a number one sales power caller. We'll talk about the movie and talk with Boots Riley coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's 720 WGN. Stay with us.
720 WGN.
708 here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. The Steve Cochran Show, of course, 6 to 10 every morning here on 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Grzanich are here. And also with us on the line, Elise Glink. She is the proprietor of thinkglink.com and a regular contributor to WGN Radio. Elise, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, a lot to talk about this morning. And the two stories that I think we'll start with is how much renters are paying across the country and the future of retail as we see it here in 2018. Why don't we start with the rental story? This is interesting because it was really just a Business Insider story about the most expensive neighborhoods in, I think it's nine different U.S. cities. They sort of go through and determine where the most expensive place to live in this country is.
They did, and what's interesting about this, first of all, it's an awesome little, you know, mobile thing, the app that you can look at on Business Insider. They're really mobile first, which tells you so much about how some of the top websites really see traffic, you know, driving to their websites and everywhere. And I'll talk about that more in a moment when we get to retail.
Right.
But, you know, when you look at most and least expensive places to rent, the information comes from a site called Rent Cafe, which is driven actually by some of the really big retail real estate sites. And they went and they parsed through how you could how much you would spend to rent houses in or homes in both in about nine neighborhoods in Chicago. It was interesting to see, for me anyway, that they calculated the most expensive place to rent in Chicago is River West, right?
Yeah,
Doesn't that surprise you just a little
surprising.
Bit?
I don't even know what River West is anymore. I guess that's a little bit north of our West Town, West Loop, River West. Where is River West?
Yeah, exactly. It's so, you know, 30 years ago when Oprah moved into that area and built Harpo, there was nothing there, and you seriously could rent a whole building for about $40 because nobody wanted to be there. Today it's got really fabulous, expensive, brand new buildings that are going up not just west of the river, but really west of the highway.
Yeah.
And you're looking into, remember what, you know, Halsted Street back there used to look like. It was Greek town and there really wasn't much around. And now they're just gleaming buildings that go all the way, block after block after block, you know, mile after mile, all the way out to where the Bulls play. So
yeah.
You end up, it's just become this really growing, dynamic, young market.
And you know, I'm a resident of that area. I live in the West Loop, and that's how we call it. But I've lived there since 2004. And it is interesting to watch how developers and new development in that neighborhood have turned the neighborhood from sort of a new frontier to a sprawling skyscraper-type neighborhood. You're seeing construction
right.
on every corner, building 15, 20, 25, 30-story buildings.
Right. And then you get what's really nice about the neighborhood now is you get all the amenities of living in a really hot neighborhood. Hopefully you locked in your price, you know, in 2004. But you've got fabulous restaurants that are there. There's great bars. There's, you know, I'm always amazed when you drive west, I think it's on Madison or some of the other streets, and in a beautiful summer night, every single you know, restaurant has this wonderful outdoor seating area with white lights. Like, there's just a real community feel to it that feels very different from almost anywhere else in the city. This is now, but it's just surprising to me that this is where they say is the most expensive place
yeah, right.
to rent in the city. Gold Coast, you know, you're sort of, like, tarnished a bit, right?
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I was just having this conversation with a neighbor of mine about how these new buildings that are being built, they're mostly residential, and the rents that they're asking for two-bedroom apartments are getting into the area of $3,500, $4,000, $5,000, very Manhattan-like.
Oh, it is. And so think about who's renting that. And this is a very tech-centered workforce. We've got, you know, the Soho Club is out there. You've got Google's headquarters are there. Facebook just took up a huge chunk of space. Everything going on kind of west of the river and beyond is very tech-centered, and a lot of those workers are making well into the six figures. So if you're making well into the six figures, you want to walk to work. There are very few places that you can actually do that or bike to work, and that's exactly what you see when you go into those areas. And block after block, you see people walking to work in the morning, you know, walking, skateboarding, biking, rollerblading the way home in the afternoon. And So that's what's driving that level of investment. On a larger scale, what's interesting about it is that when you look at who's building what in the country in terms of just gross amounts of residential property, you see that the high-end real estate, both rental and home building, are the things that are getting built. And stuff for first-time buyers or, you know, people who are can least afford to rent, none of that is getting built. And it's really skewing these kind of most expensive, least expensive numbers. So in Chicago, least expensive neighborhood, and this also surprised me, West Garfield Park, where, you know, the average monthly rent in West Garfield Park is $759. The average monthly rent cost for River West, $2,400. Yeah. So,
and
really quite a...
And the irony is that those neighborhoods are separated by 20 blocks, maybe, or so, something like that. They're very close to each other.
They are. And it's interesting also that West Garfield Park is a pretty significantly sized neighborhood. There's, you know, it goes pretty far, whereas River West is kind of this little sliver in the vast sea of Chicago. And so you just see quite a difference. And if you look at what's interesting about this Business Insider report, from the Rent Cafe numbers, is if you look in River West at a studio, it's $1,668 is the average cost for a studio in River West. And a three-bedroom is, to your point, $4,906, almost $5,000. Wow. For West Garfield Park, the difference is a lot smaller. A studio can be rented for $608 average, and a three-bedroom for $1,085. If you look nationally, one of the stark numbers that came out earlier this year about rentals is that you would need a typical person making minimum wage would need to have 2.5 full-time jobs, basically working 24 hours a day in order to be able to afford a typical one-bedroom apartment in almost any state. And they couldn't afford on a average the minimum salary, they couldn't afford even a two-bedroom apartment in any state. And so we're really seeing this push towards the expensive, and I'm not sure where everybody who makes minimum wage is going to be living.
Well, I mean, we had the mayor in last week, and we asked that question about the growing numbers when it comes to inequality. And frankly, when the job markets and the job reports come out and they talk about jobs being available, As someone eloquently said on Twitter, which caught fire and went viral, I don't need another job in the way that it's really about the wages, not necessarily the jobs available. And that seems to be an issue in America right now.
Well, that's one thing. And then you have to know, because Deloitte came out with this incredible survey. They looked at 70,000 millennials, survey that came out, I think it was earlier this year, that showed that the majority of millennials are actually having side hustles, part-time jobs on the side that they're now taking that just to, in order to get their bills paid. Not even really to save money. It's just to, in order to get their bills paid. So there's two problems there, right? Overall, those 70,000 millennials are probably spending too much. They're spending on these things like, you know, incredible neighborhoods to live in and really expensive housing. But they're also probably not earning enough as a large sector. Not enough of them, I guess, from those high-paid tech jobs. So, but it's interesting to think about how side hustles or this idea that you're going to have a second job has come into the market and how accepting employers have become of people who moonlight, which is what that used to be called, that, you know, you'd go to a second job in the middle of the night. That used to be frowned upon if you were an employer, and today I think employers are recognizing the necessity of it to bring down the financial stress of their workforce, and they're okay with it.
The other story, we'll do real quick, because we're running out of time here, but the future of retail in 2018, I was surprised that the nugget I took away from this story was that in-store retail, the brick-and-mortar retail, continues to surpass mobile and Amazon or the idea of any sort of online retail, but really the future of retail is in your cell phone.
It really is. And so for all the things that we've talked about, how Business Insider is optimized for mobile, you know, so is shopping now. And you might get some strange-looking stuff that's on a desktop where it looks really cool and interesting on your phone. Real estate is a great example of this, actually, because the really smart developers and landlords have all done mobile websites. And in fact, we're working on a mobile website and some mobile content right now for one of our clients in the real estate sector, and they're landlords, and they have thousands of units, and it's really interesting to they said to me, build us a site. We really want to be able our people to be able to use a map in a much better, more intuitive way on their phones. We know that more than half of our traffic is coming from mobile, and we want to optimize for them. And the developers tech developers, but real estate developers, the builders, the landlords, people who are trying to sell sites like Zillow, Trulia, and there's a whole host of others in the home building area that are now, they've all joined together and they built a really cool technology that's starting to get rolled out. All of these companies are focusing on people buying and renting property from their phones. And if it's not mobile first for them, they're seeing huge amounts of traffic go away because younger people who are now renting in their 20s, 30s, and even early 40s, they're mobile first, and they don't have any patience for technology that doesn't come right from their fingertips. And that's the same thing for retail as well. You're not optimized. You're not getting the sale.
And I wonder, obviously we can have a bigger conversation about this. We're just hitting the tip of the iceberg, but this will be the future. Elise Glink, the proprietor of thinkglink.com, and also a contributor to WGN Radio. Elise, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Happy Friday.
Oh, and this portion sponsored by Grandview Homes. All right, coming up, we're going to do our most valuable person on the planet. Friday, July 6th, the hashtag, this is great, the hashtag CPS Playground So Broke. Talk about that coming up here. But before we do that, let's find out what's coming up at 7:30. Steve Grzanich.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran up in upstate New York today. He's back on Monday. Justin Kaufman here. Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanich. We got a big show lined up. Father Flager joining us coming up after the news. Talk about his planned protest to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway tomorrow. Right now, we've been talking about the Chevy Silverado for, a couple months now, I feel like, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we're giving away the Chevy Silverado. You can find out all that information at WGNradio.com. Sign up for your chance to win this truck, which has got the Centennial Blue. It's one that Mary Sandberg Boyle got a chance to drive. I don't know if you were here when she got the chance to drive it.
I missed that. Yeah. I was here for the anticipation of that moment.
Oh, yeah. She took out all her little errands, but she did clean it, she said.
Yeah, I was annoyed by that part. I thought that would be the idea.
Kids in there,
Yeah. Get that truck dirty.
Yeah. Snacks, drinks.
Also, we're giving away tickets, four-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks Convention, 312-981-7200. We do this every day around 720, so let's do it right now. Dave Ennett, I'll give you the honor of choosing which number we should give.
Which number give?
What number caller?
Okay. Well, he's one of our all-time favorites. Number 18, Savoir Fair,
right.
Dennis Savar. So... let's see. Savvy wore 18, so 1 plus 8 equals 9. Ninth caller.
Ninth caller. There you go. 312-981-7200 for a four-pack.
I thought he was going to go 81 and reverse it.
That would be Mary and Hosa, Mary. I wouldn't do that to Port
Curtis.
That's
a lot of calls, right? So the ninth caller at 312-981-7200. Well, it's also time for the most valuable person on the planet for Friday, July 6, 2018. Today's most valuable person is Cassandra Cachaja. Why? Because Cassandra, Chicagoan, has gone to social media to document playground neglect. Yes, this is the story that was in Block Club Chicago on her first day of kindergarten at Stone Elementary in West Ridge. Cassandra's daughter came home with a gash on her leg. We'll let Cassandra explain why she got involved and what happened here. Cassandra, welcome to the Steve Cochran Show.
Good morning. Thank you.
And thank you for what you're doing here. So talk about this. Your daughter came home with a gash on her leg from the playground?
She did. And when she showed us, my daughter's kind of crazy, and we fully expected her to have injuries in kindergarten, maybe not on the first day. But when my daughter showed me what happened, she showed me a piece of playground equipment where the equipment had broken. And it looks like maintenance crews maybe snapped the whole piece off to try to keep it safe. But what was left was a shard of sharp plastic. Mm. So I thought, well, that's not great. This year we've moved our kids to our neighborhood school a couple of blocks down from our house. And the playground there also has problems. My kids have gone to three CPS schools and they're getting great educations. but the playgrounds at two of those three schools are just in disrepair. And I've visited CPS meetings to find out what's going on and been told basically that playgrounds are not on the priority list for CPS. And it's dangerous. I've talked to other parents.
Yeah,
and it's
I was going to say, by going to social media and using the hashtag CPS playground so broke, it's startling to see the pictures and people who have joined in the conversation showing their neighborhood playground and the amount of disrepair these playgrounds are in.
Absolutely. It is startling. And the sad fact is that some playgrounds are amazing and new, and those are through the efforts of hardworking families and aldermen. Honestly, a lot of school communities end up having to fundraise, and they work through their aldermen to get funds to replace their playgrounds. They work with grant companies and not-for-profits to get playgrounds replaced. Right. CPS does not focus on it.
Well, this is a obviously this time. I mean, as mentioned in the Block Club article, your quote was to leverage the campaign season. We're about to start a municipal election season, not just for the mayor, but for the alderman. Do you believe a movement like this could find results because it is a campaign season?
I really hope so. I know that Mayor Emanuel is very proud of the work that's been done, as he should be, on the Park District playgrounds. To replace and repair them so that every Chicagoan is within a 10-minute walk to a functional, beautiful park. That is an amazing stat that puts Chicago at the top of any other large city in the U.S. But kids who go to school in CPS, their closest playground is the one right there at recess, and a 10-minute walk doesn't really help them.
Yeah. Cassandra Cachaja, the hashtag on Twitter is CPS Playground So Broke. Cassandra, thanks for joining us and being the most valuable person on the planet for Friday, July 6th. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, and again, the hashtag CPS Playground So Broke. Go check it out because you'll see pictures and you'll see all sorts of parents in the Chicagoland area from neighborhoods far and wide showing, you know, serious issues of playground neglect. And if you want to add to that, you can as well. All right, 7:30, we'll take a break, come back, and we will get to Father Michael Flager here on the Steve Cochran Show, so stay with us.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:39 here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman in for Steve today. Dave Ennett's here, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Grzanich. Coming up 8 o'clock, Boots Riley's going to join us, the filmmaker, the film Sorry to Bother You, which is getting great reviews, great film. Lakeith Stanfield in theaters now this weekend. Awesome to have Boots Riley here. I'm so excited about this. I saw the film this week. So
you're pumped.
I am. I'm pumped up. I'm pumped up for our next guest, too, because I don't know. I will say this, Dave. I'm not sure there's been this much, I guess, pre-press for a protest in Chicago in recent memory. I know there's a lot of protests and things happened downtown. We had a lot during the Chicago Teachers Union. There's always protests about the violence in some parts of the city. But this one has gotten the attention of Chicago police, state police, even the country, in the sense that there is a protest plan to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway tomorrow morning. It's led by the senior pastor at the Faith Community of St. Sabina Church in Chicago, of course, Reverend Michael Flager, who joins us on the line. Father Flager, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you, sir.
So let's talk about this. Where does this idea come from? There's been so many protests coming over the last couple of years, but what makes this one so important?
Well, we've been meeting with a coalition of young people, both black, white, and brown, for the last 6 months. And a frustration, a growing frustration that, yes, we go out every Friday night and we walk in our community as a church, and certainly have been about a number of protests and the shutdown of Michigan Avenue and all the rest about the violence. But it continues, and not just the violence of guns, of black-on-black crime or police-on-young-brothers crime, but the violence of unemployment and poor schools and lack of resources, economic development, and mental health accessibility, all those forms of violence, which is crippling communities on the South and the West Side. So we just took a page with our young people out of the really the playbook of Dr. King. When nothing else seems to be working, then you step it up a notch and you create a civil disobedience or direct action that inconveniences the masses of people and also tries to draw the masses of people together to say, I want to address this issue, to put it in the forefront and the front burner of the society, but also then to put demands out saying these are things that need to be dealt with. We can't just keep saying, yes, we're concerned about it, and nothing happens.
Father Flager, there are many people who will say that they are sympathetic or they're even emotionally attached to finding ways to stop the violence in Chicago, but they'll stop short of saying, you know, interrupting a major highway, expressway in Chicago and inconveniencing possibly thousands of people might not be the right way to go. What's your response to that?
Well, I understand that. I mean, that's the whole point of civil disobedience and direct action is inconveniencing the masses of people, is causing something of business as usual and the flow of traffic to stop. That's what was done in Birmingham. That was done to the Pettus Bridge. That was done in Montgomery and Selma. I mean, so it is saying we're going to interrupt the business as usual of the masses of people to say we need you to join with us to say let's stop this. Many people drive down the Dan Ryan every single day and never pay attention or care about the pain and the neglect that's going on in east and west of that expressway. So we're saying yes, it is a point of irritant. It's a point of irritation. It's a point of interrupting and making people inconvenient. But guess what? When children get shot, we've had more than 61 children shot since January 1st, which is absolutely comparable within a couple of numbers of the last 2 years. And that's an inconvenience. People say, well, I don't feel safe getting off the Ryan. Well, we don't feel safe off the Ryan either. And it's creating the society say, we've got to do something to get the attention of the masses of people and the attention of the powers that be.
Is this an issue that is essentially a protest to raise awareness, or are you looking for a call to action? What are the demands that you have to some of our leaders?
It's both, Justin. I mean, first it is a bring awareness, and certainly that has come about in the last week and a half. But it's a part of action. Our young people have sent out letters to the governor, to the mayor, and to all those running for governor and mayor, requesting a meeting with them to bring these issues to them and say, what are you going to do? As a mayoral and a governor elections are taking place, we want to know who are the people who have a plan, and not just nice things and words, but what is the aggressive, concrete plan they have to make a difference and equal these playing fields. Our young people do have a plan. They have all sorts of suggestions they want to make, but say, what's the suggestions of those who are either in office or running for office? Here's what we bring. Now, what are you going to commit yourself to?
And I guess the Illinois State Police have come out saying they're going to try to physically keep you from doing this. There's threats of mass arrests. Are you prepared for civil disobedience to not necessarily become violent, but to be in a position where some of your protesters are arrested?
Well, I think we're prepared for anything. I know last night we had a meeting here. Ever since the state police put that out, we've had major law firms and attorneys from across the spectrum to go volunteer and say, we will be here to help you and support you in any way possible. But, you know, it's kind of amazing to me, Justin, because we're talking about we don't want to close this down because it's something we can't do, it's illegal to do, and yet we close down the expressway whenever a president comes in town. We close down the expressway from 35th Street to 111th Street for Commander Paul Bauer's funeral procession. I understand that, okay with both of those. But now because people want to draw attention to violence and the people dying, and to say that now this will take a different approach, that's a great concern to me.
Father Flager, overall, the city of Chicago has seen a lot when it comes to violence in decades now.
Yes,
but
sir.
There seems to be, I want to hear from you, but this idea of complacency where there are people who live in different neighborhoods where it may not be as violent or have these issues not affect them. Are we seeing, because of desensitizing to the issues of some of these neighborhoods, particularly neighborhoods on the south and west sides?
I think you're exactly right. I think that we've kind of relegated that it's going to be like this, and this is how it's going to be, and this is acceptable, and it's normalization on the south and the west sides, and the rest of the city is just saying, don't come into my neighborhood. And we have to say, no, this is not normal. This is not acceptable. And people should not have to live in fear. And our children should not have to be afraid going to school, sitting on the porch, going to the playground. We should be ashamed as a city that we have become the poster boy of America for this violence. And we remember that about 2 months ago, there was an article out that Stroger Hospital has been chosen as a training ground for the Navy medics because they said it was the closest thing they could find in America to a battlefield zone. That ought to make us outraged as a city and say, we can't be seen or known. This is a great city. What do we need to do? We changed around West Loop. We changed around South Loop. We can change what we want to. So what are we going to do to make sure we equal the playing field on the South and West Side with jobs, with education, with resources, with economic development, so our city, all the city, can be the great city it is?
You know, as we wrap up here, it's really important to call Father Flager on the line, but it's important that many leaders, religious leaders and community leaders have come together to almost form a coalition here. It's not just you and the church. There are a lot of people getting together and the numbers continue to swell. What's the expectation tomorrow? How many people do you think are going to be out and give us a sort of rundown of what's going to happen?
And you're right on that. There are leaders and pastors from across the West Side, the South Side, North Side, bus coming from Evanston, from Naperville. We've got people coming from all over. My original call we put out was looking for 1,000 people to join us. I think we'll more than triple that.
Father Flager, the senior pastor at the Faith Community of St. Sabina Roman Catholic Church in Chicago, Illinois, planned protest tomorrow to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway between 79th and 67th. Is that what you were planning?
Yes, sir. We'll meet at 79th and the Dan Ryan at 10 a.m. will walk from 79th to 67th.
Father Flager, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
There you go. 312-981-7200. If you would like to weigh in on this issue, of course, a very eloquent and passionate plea there, impassioned plea by Father Flager to say, hey, you got to get people's attention, and this might be the way to do it. What do you think? 312-981-7200. We'll talk about that. But first, let's get an update or find out what's coming up in the 8 o'clock news. Steve?
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Getting national press for what could be a monumental protest. It was Father Flager and a coalition of religious and community leaders plan to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway at 79th Street tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Father Flager just joined us to talk about the reasons for doing so. It's an interesting combo because, frankly, if you're going to be in the protest game, I mean, if that's the idea, I was just watching old episodes of Arrested Development. There was a funny bit where they had to protest the free speech cage. They put the protesters in the cage off the side of the road, and that's where you could protest for free speech. That's not how it's supposed to work. Civil disobedience is to disrupt and inconvenience people, as Father Flager mentioned. Maybe not the best thing for getting people on your side, but that's the conversation we're having. Let's start with Robert. Robert, you're on the line. Thanks for calling in. What's your thought on this?
I don't understand. We almost shut down the city of Chicago. 20,000-30,000 people came out because of what Trump did on the border, and only 3,000 are going to show up for kids in our society going to, you know, in a handbasket. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah,
I'm not getting this. We shut down the city of Chicago, 20,000-30,000 go out there and protest, and only 3,000 want to show up.
Well, that's an interesting point, Robert, about how many people are going to show up. We still don't know. I mean, it's obviously, I think it's a double, I think the purpose for Father Flager to do press and to do press conferences and have leaders stand behind him is to not only raise awareness for the issues and the plight of the people that he represents in his church and also who he leads on the south and west sides of Chicago, but also to let people know that the Dan Ryan is going to be a hotbed of political activity tomorrow at 10 a.m. Meaning, you know, it may only be 3,000 people, but 3,000 people crossing the Dan Ryan will grab people's attention. And Father Flager, to his credit, has told the press, he didn't tell us in this interview, but I should have asked him that this is just the beginning. There seemed to be a coordinated strategy and effort from the church and from community leaders to say enough is enough when it comes to Chicago violence. So this is the starting point for what could be a movement. Blanche, you're on the line. Blanche, what do you think?
Well, I want to know how nobody ever brought up about who is killing all these kids and people.
He doesn't
care. The gangs.
No, he understands that. He has no problem whatsoever with that. They made a very clear point in some of the press this week, in the press conference he had on Tuesday, that he's sick and tired of everyone blaming it on gangs because innocent civilians are being killed sitting on their porches or sitting or driving in their cars or riding their bicycles, children, teens. We've seen this in the last couple of weeks. So what that means is why are their lives not matter just because it was gangs? That's his point. And so
the point that I have too is we're giving out gift cards for people that turn in guns, right?
I don't know.
And then all these gangs can go in and open up their trunk, and there's another gun in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks, Blanche. Thanks for calling. I think overall, and I get what you're saying, there's a ton of texts coming in on the same issue. I think what Father Flager is trying to say, and I'm not representing him, I'm just, you know, for the sake of the argument, is that far too often the rest of Chicago will paint a picture that it's gang problems in this one neighborhood. You know what? As long as they stay in that neighborhood, it's the gang's fault. It's the gang's problem. But if there was gang shooting in Lakeview or a gang shooting downtown Chicago and it claimed the lives of a 5-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid or an 8-year-old, it wouldn't matter why they got shot. There would be protests to why that innocent life was taken. And there would be a movement and a strength from a community. You'd see the political leaders stepping up and saying, we can't have this anymore. And you're not getting that every weekend here in Chicago anymore. You're just getting numbers that are being spit out by the newspapers. I don't know.
No, it's true. When it's next door to you, it's different.
Right.
People perceive it differently.
Yeah. So an interesting, I think that there's a lot of merit on both sides to civil disobedience and where that takes place. And of course, the inconvenience, a lot of people seizing on the idea that what if there's ambulances? What if somebody is injured and needs to get somewhere on the expressway? Those kind of texts. And I think that the Father Flager would have a response to that as well. But it does seem to me that his argument about when a president comes through and you shut down the Dan Ryan, rarely do we hear any argument, saying, well, what about this trap? What about emergency vehicles? It seems to only apply to this, perhaps.
And there is a lot of warning about, I mean, we've had a lot of time to prepare with alternates and things like that. I mean, not that this is right or wrong. I'm just going on a traffic reporter person standpoint. I mean, you know, it's from 10 to noon. Maybe if they ended earlier, it might be earlier. So, you know, you should be prepared to take the Skyway, you know, if you're coming from the southeast or, you know, King Drive, Cottage Grove, Stony Island, you know, to the Lakeshore Drive if you're coming to the east, or Halstead, yeah. Ashland. I mean, there's a few other alternates. Just prepare. Like you said, you had somebody coming in from out of town.
Yeah, my mother-in-law's coming in.
Now you got to prepare her with another route.
right.
Or, you know, the CTA is available, the Red or Green Line, both of them. Or, you know, there's other things to do to prepare to avoid this mess. So you have warning.
Maybe if you're in a car, too, you can just put the thing in park and get out and protest with him if you feel strongly about this problem.
You can do that
too. Looking for a Saturday afternoon or morning protest. It's right there for you. Just pop out of the car. The text to call in. And I want to have this conversation, I think, with Steve when he gets back as well. We can continue the conversation about the root causes of why there are protests, because a lot of people are calling in or texting in wanting to debate the root causes. Someone texts in about, you know, the code of silence, gangs in areas, things of that nature. I mean, that we can have that conversation. I think we should as a city and as 720 WGN, and we continue to do so. But today we're talking specifically about the act of civil disobedience, the idea of shutting down the Dan Ryan Expressway, which will happen tomorrow at 10 a.m. Father Flager leading what could be, as he said, 3,000 protesters taking to the expressway at 10 a.m. tomorrow at 79th Street. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and get the news. After that, Boots Riley and the movie Sorry to Bother You. Stay with us. Thanks, Steve. Steve Cochran Show here, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman, Dave Ennis, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandevelt. Coming up, Steve Stone's going to join us, talk White Sox baseball. And at 9 o'clock, Ed McClellan's going to be here. Talk a little Chicago accent challenge, a bit we've been doing for a while, where people call up, and if you got the best accent in Chicago, you can win a pizza. We ask you very specific questions about
if you have the best accent in Chicago, you probably already have a pizza.
Yeah. That's true. Well, this is going to be your second. This is going to be your backup pizza. We'll give you a backup pizza. The new movie, Sorry to Bother You, is out in select theaters in Chicago. The comedy, social satire, is getting rave reviews after being a hit at Sundance. The film stars Lakeith Stanfield as Cassius Green, a telemarketer who uses an overdubbed white voice, played by David Cross, which results in better sales and a promotion to a power caller. But Sorry to Bother You is much more than code switching. This is great. This is a great film by first-time director Boots Riley. It's a dystopian satire that explores a not-too-far-off future of slave labor, corporate greed, marketing, branding, and organizing. Boots Riley is a famed musician from the Oakland-based rap collective The Coup, who arguably are the most politically charged group in rap history. And Riley himself has been a big part of the labor movement in California. And when watching this film, you would never know that this is the first foray for Riley. It's creative, fresh, surreal, authentic, and, well, hilarious. Boots Riley in studio on 720 WGN. Mr. Riley, great to meet you.
What's up? Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, you know, this movie has really grabbed everyone's attention, mainly the trailer, because it's so creative and so authentic in the way it's approached. But it's really about the telemarketing aspect of this. Before we get into the movie, you actually had a life of a background in telemarketing.
Yeah, it was, you know, using my creative energies for evil.
Right?
Yeah.
How was that experience, and how does that translate into what is in this film?
I mean, it's soul-crushing, and I spent my time in a cubicle plotting my revenge, which this is the final blow.
You are a longtime artist, musician, and you have, like I said, spent some time in the California labor movement. What moved you to write a screenplay? This is a debut. This is your film. You directed it. You put it together, but not something that you're necessarily known for.
Well, my grandmother ran Oakland Ensemble Theater. I wrote plays that were produced while I was in high school plays, and moved on, went to film school at San Francisco State. And actually, I was in film school when we got a record deal. So that was kind of the thing I was going to do first. And all these years I've been wanting to make a film. So
films. The music you're talking about, record deal, The Coup, the group that you've been in, and a group that, like I said, was arguably one of the more, if not the most politically charged rap group in history. It's such great stuff. How does that inform your screenplay? The work that you did with The Coup, how does that translate into Sorry to Bother You?
Well, here's the thing. Rock and roll is supposed to be rebellious, right? Like it's supposed to have this thing like, oh, they're bad boys or whatever. But sometimes rock and roll is really just, they've got the jackets, but they're really just saying the same thing that a country singer is saying or whatever. They're not really bad boys because they've taken all their rebellion against the way things are out of it, and so my music is similar to that. That it is rebellious, and it talks about rebellion, and it has an edge to it because of that. And how that goes into the movie is that this is a movie that has that edge as well, the same edge that we're all thinking about. We don't know. I believe that nobody likes the way things are. There's not, you know, that. But most of us don't think there's a way to change it.
Right.
And this is a movie that has that in it as its backbone. And that's what has been in my music.
It is. It's at the core of everything that happens to the main character, Cassius Green, who is a telemarketer who discovers his overdubbed white voice, played by David Cross. And in that, he finds himself moving up the corporate ladder and getting an opportunity to make more money and to be more, to just be a power caller, as it is in the movie. But there's so much that is plays out in there about whether or not he should be doing that for the system that's in place, whether or not he should be thinking about the workers that he came from.
You know.
Yeah, but that seems to be at the core, this idea that can one person change the world?
Yeah, I mean, and so that's the thing that we explore. It's also, you know, I think in the movie he's having, and we say this at the beginning, he says this, that he's having kind of an existential crisis of, you know, trying to make his life mean something and wondering if he's been wasting you know, his time. And I think a lot of us have that thought of ourselves in the context of time and space. And this character does. And when we're talking about this, all these philosophical ideas in there. But I think the main, you know, it's a fun movie.
It's a comedy. It's very funny.
Yeah. And you know, and it's something I tried to have that would try to be unpredictable in it. Because I hate those movies where you're like, oh, this is the heist movie. And this is they just built the team. And now I can go to the bathroom and get back before that problem happens that's going to happen.
As a screenwriter, do you think about that? Because there's formulas so much in movies, and they teach it this way. They teach it, page 30 you do this, page 60 you do this. Yeah. I mean, as a screenwriter, are you pushing back against the idea of a formula?
Definitely, because as a screen watcher, I also don't want that formula. You know, sometimes it's cool, like, you know, to kind of feel like you know what's going to happen a little bit, and you see what that director, what the beats that director is dancing in. But you know, it's not really that satisfying to be able to be like, I told you that was going to happen. You know, I hate being able to do that, and I love feeling like the movie is alive and feeling like it's a great story and I don't know what's going to happen, because then I feel in it, you know.
In the movie, as you talked about, you know, whether or not you can change the world and the system that we live in, again, the trailer makes it feel like it's going to be a story about race and race only. This idea that he adopts this overdubbed white voice and therefore he gets ahead as a black man. But that's far from the center of this film.
All of those things are in the movie. That's definitely in the movie. But it comes from there's a class analysis that happens in the movie, and definitely my idea is that race and class are intertwined, that that there's a reason for racist ideas, and that is so that the ruling class can keep the working class down, you know.
And that's the big theme in the film Sorry to Bother You, which is in select theaters right now here in the city of Chicago area. Boots Riley is the filmmaker. He is in studio with us right now on the Cochrane Show. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue the conversation. But before we do that, let's find out what's coming up in the 8:30 news. Steve Grzanich. Cochrane Show, 720 WGN. Justin Ind, Dave Ennett as well, Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanich. All right, Boots Riley is here, the filmmaker of Sorry to Bother You, which is in theaters now, getting rave reviews. You know, I just texted in saying, oh, it sounds very anti-Trump, right? And I thought about this, too, because there's a lot in the film that may be more about the corporate world that we live in now.
It's anti-all of it.
Because this was actually written at the end of Obama's term, the first term,
in the middle
2012.
Of it. Yeah. I finished writing it in 2012, and we published it as its own paperback book on McSweeney's in 2014. And so what it's critiquing is the economic system that we live in. And you know, like I really feel like we need to talk about the things that make the politicians make the decisions that they're making. Because Trump, Obama, Democrats, Republicans, they're all taking money. You know, like they're all like they're not making decisions because of what they think is right. They're making decisions based on who's paying them. And even for somebody that's rich and elected, there's people that have more money and more power collectively. And this film is talking about our economic system and how that changes our lives.
The course of making this film is so interesting. I don't know if we'll have enough time to get into how you got this film made, but it is. Are you surprised at the response? I mean, everyone is enjoying it. The rave reviews for this thing. Are you for your first film to come out for this to not only, and I'm not just talking about good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes or the New York Times, but just the way that there is anticipation for this film, the lines around the corner at the screening that I saw. Are you surprised as a filmmaker for the appetite for this kind of film?
I mean, you know, it's something that you could only hope for it to actually happen. Is crazy, you know. I don't know how to process it yet, you know. People are really responding to it, and it has to do with it being a different kind of film. And so it's great. But I'm at a loss for words because, yeah, there are people all over the country being like, oh, we're trying to buy tickets and it's sold out.
The way that this film came about, and you mentioned McSweeney's, it was the screenplay was in a book in 2014. Dave Eggers championed it. It became, I think he said, the most talked about unproduced screenplay in Hollywood. Yeah, everyone knew about it, and a lot of that had to do with the way that you approached it, the sort of hustle that goes into trying to get a film made. Once your script was produced, talk about how you went about making this film.
Yeah, well, you know, taking cue from my own experiences promoting hip hop and doing that independently. I took a lot of that same thing, and there was kind of a stone soup thing, getting different people on. So David Cross and Patton Oswalt, who play the white voices, they were the first people to sign on. They were like, before I had producers or investors, they were like, this is hilarious. We need to be part of this. And then Dave Eggers, McSweeney's, and then SF Film as a filmmaker in residence. I joined that, and that gave it a little bit more clout. Then I became part of Sundance in the Sundance Labs, the writers and directors labs, and that gave it clout. Then, you know, at that point, then certain producers that came on board were circling it, like Nina Yang Bon Jovi. Yeah, she's part of that Bon Jovi family, and Forrest Whitaker, they circled it and were and attracted other people, Macro, who've done a lot of stuff. So all those producers getting around, and this buzz about the script and Sundance being behind it, made it be that actors were interested in seeing what it was about.
And there were big-time actors that wanted the role. Donald Glover comes there are other actors that wanted to be attached or couldn't be attached because of their schedule. But Lakeith Stanfield, who is also a star of the show Atlanta, and he was in the film Get Out, he is so good in your film because he plays that role so well of not being attached to the corporate side or to the worker side, and just sort of being.
Yeah, he's a different kind of actor. A rare actor that you only get, you know, you get very few of. And he is not like one of those kind of corny, like soap opera type actors where, like, now here's my confused face. Look at my eyebrows. You know, he's feeling that feeling, and he's not doing it from the outside in. He's feeling it, and he's not worried about what he looks like. And so what ends up happening is that you get a more natural way of being that feels real. And so even though this film has a lot of fantastical things happening, not just the white voice, but we're not spoiling it, but there's a lot of fantastical things happening, and we only are able to really believe it because the acting feels real. It feels you feel like real people are going through these things.
So, final question, just what do you want people to walk out of the theater with? What is the final message of Sorry to Bother You?
Well, there's a lot of messages. I approach this like a novel where there are a lot of, not necessarily messages, but just things, you know? But one thing is optimism. There's optimism, I think, and joy in this movie. And there's an optimism that people can change the way things are, and that doesn't mean that everything will ever be all the way all right, but that there's joy and optimism that comes from the fight.
Boots Riley, the filmmaker, his film Sorry to Bother You, his debut, getting rave reviews in select theaters right now in Chicago.
Thanks. And it's in it'll be everywhere starting next week.
There you
go. But we come out this week because you know, you want to say that you were first.
That's right. And somebody's got to take on Jurassic World. In that point, Boots Riley, a pleasure to meet you, and congrats on the great film.
All right.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my, my, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
Steve Cochran out till Monday. Justin Kaufman with you. Dave Ennett. Steve Rozanich. Mary Vanderbilt. Coming up at 9 o'clock, the Chicago Accent Challenge. Ted McClellan will be here. Talk about if you feel like you have the best Chicago accent, we have the questions and the trivia that will cement that. We have it. I have the questions. We played this on the download for a number of months, and we have the right ways to suss out your Chicago accent and find out if you got the best. And the winner gets a pizza and also entered into the tournament, the year-end tournament, where the grand prize, Dave, is $333.
$333. Pretty good.
That's coming up at 9.
You know who's got a great Chicago accent?
Who's that?
Steve Stone on baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants.
Steve Stone.
Yeah, you got to check out ABBA in the West Loop. It's just outstanding. You have Beatrix on the ground floor. New restaurants. The West Loop is really... really something. I was there the other night, and I couldn't believe as many people as were walking around just really enjoying all that the West Loop has to offer.
We were talking about that earlier, Justin.
Absolutely. And my wife just went to that restaurant last week, and she loved it. So there you go.
Yeah, terrific. There
you go. Steve, you have warned us not to get too fixated on one game, win or lose, at this point in the rebuild. Still, there are some that seem a little tougher than others. Was last night one of those?
Well, certainly, when you have the lead late and you're playing a good ball club, I mean, you're facing a leading antagonist in Justin Verlander, who's been close to unbeatable against our Sox for quite some time now, and you battle him to a standstill. Then you see Leury Garcia come up, hit a home run. You take the lead late, and only to squander it. But you know, Dave, since the beginning of time in this game, it's been true that the good teams take the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and the bad teams give the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and that's exactly what happened last night. A leadoff walk in the ninth inning is usually, in a one-run game, going to cost you, especially if the guy has some speed, and Tony Kemp does. So he scores, and then, of course, Gurriel, who doesn't strike out very much, came in a key situation with the infield having to play in to cut off the winning run at the plate. He dumps it over the infield's head, and that's the ball game. But you know, Houston is a World Series winner. They, as a team, know how to win, and so nothing really fazes them. And they kept pecking away. Didn't hit the ball particularly hard, but hit it in good spots. And yeah, you can't get fixated on one game or one week. But the thing to concentrate on for White Sox fans, as well as the fans of baseball on both sides of town and all over this great land of ours, is this is a real interesting time of year because we're heading to the trade deadline. And at the trade deadline, I think Rick Hahn and just about every other general manager says pretty much, okay, I'm open for business. What am I bid for my assets, and how can I improve my team? Now, there are some teams that going forward have a thought of postseason play. The Sox aren't one of those teams, but I think Rick and Kenny Williams always looking to upgrade the organization and get them some assets for the future, guys that who'll be ready. Not today, but, you know, in the not-too-distant future, add to the prospects they already have. And that's why every day you read the newspaper, you see who might go, you see the rumors. It's just a great time of year.
I wonder, too, because the newspaper's today saying that, we talked about this last week, Avi Garcia, of course, back from his injury, and he is lights out since his return. But also Jose Abreu, who looks like he may be the starting first baseman for the American League in the All-Star game. Jose Abreu has been sort of the centerpiece for this White Sox team. But, you know, there might be a thought that because of his All-Star appearance and the lack of depth at first base in the American League, that there might be a good return for a guy like Jose.
Well, again, you know, when you're in the situation the White Sox are in, Justin, I believe that there's no untouchables. It's what am I bid? If you can trade Chris Sale, you can pretty much trade anybody. And you're looking at an organization that is building for the future. And the calculation is, if I trade this guy, will I be a better team? Plain and simple, that's the only situation you have. And then you make a decision. You look at your prospects. You look at the guys that you might trade. You see the return. And sometimes what happens with a player is they're worth more to you than they are on the open market. And I think, you know, I'm not going to tell you definitively that that's the case with Jose Abreu, but his contributions to the ball club go far beyond what he can bring on the field. I mean, we know that he's one of the best throwing first base when he makes the 3-6-3, 3-6-1 double plays as well as anybody in the game. But you look at his bat and you look at, again, what he brings to the team, and you see that in the locker room, at the quiet times, he helps lead the Latino players. I mean, he leads by example as well as by voice. He's one of those guys that gives a lot of suggestions and a lot of advice to the young players. He's one of the guys they truly respect, and justifiably so. His work ethic is outstanding. He's very professional going about his task. And so you take a look at the return and you say, nope, this guy's more valuable to us than he is what we can get in return. I don't know that that's the case, but that is one of the factors that you calculate when you look at Jose Abreu.
Does the fact, Steve, that the AL Central is a runaway, the American League East is essentially a two-team runaway, and one of those teams will be a wild card and one will be a division champ, and then the AL West is looking like it's just two teams there, does that change the way the trade market will act going up to the deadline, because you have fewer teams that it looks like are going to be in the mix, at least as far as the American League is concerned?
Yeah, but it, you know, the American League is obviously half of the calculus.
Right.
You have the National League and you have some races. You have the Western Division in the National League. Arizona's clinging by a thread over the Dodgers. San Francisco is still right there despite having some key injuries. Colorado still believes they're in it to make a playoff run. Then you have the East. Washington's going to do whatever they can possibly do to try to get there. They're five games in back of Atlanta, but you got Philadelphia sandwiched in the middle of that. And you look at the Central, you got Milwaukee, you got the Cubs. St. Louis is not giving up the ghost quite yet. I think Pittsburgh is facing reality. They're not going to get there this year. So you have enough teams that are in it. You'd love to see more. Obviously, the more teams in the race, and that would be pretty much the wild card, the more teams in it, the more possibilities you are for teams talking about adding. I mean, Oakland is sitting with a dilemma right now because they're a good team, and they're talking about perhaps adding people, although I don't think they're going to trade any of their young assets or a whole lot of them. But, you know, they usually divest themselves of their talent at this point. Normally you could say, well, Lowry's going to be on his way and maybe a couple of others. But right now Oakland is sitting there, and the team is playing good, solid baseball. They're 48-39. They believe they still have a shot despite the fact they're seven games in back of Seattle. But I think you're right about the American League. Look, you've got Houston and Seattle. And maybe outside, I mean really an outside chance of Oakland with six of their pitchers on the disabled list. The East is a two-team race, and the Central, well, Cleveland's making a shambles of the division, and nobody's going to win the wild card. So the American League is pretty well said and done. You got a couple of two-team races, and that's it. But you look at the National League, those teams are all looking for upgrades. I think the Dodgers are still in the market, and they've got some really good young players to trade. It does affect the trade market, but there's plenty of teams that are still viewing themselves as playoff contenders.
Steve, just quickly, the prospects, should we be concerned as Sox fans about the mounting injuries? We see Luis Robert and others who have had a lot of injuries this season, and it continues to pile up. Is that a concern, or is that just baseball?
Well, it's always a concern, but one of the things you have to realize, especially with these players that come over from in the case of Robert, come over from Cuba, in the case of some of the others come over from the Dominican, is that these guys don't play a whole lot of structured games before they're run up into pro baseball. So when they get into a professional schedule, and for a minor leaguer, that's usually 140 games, and for some of the other guys, the younger guys that go to the Arizona Fall League, they're playing more baseball under more intense situations than they have at any time of their lives. And people say, well, you know, from the warm weather countries like the Dominican, like Cuba, they play a lot of baseball. But what's happened with some of the younger players is they get ready for the scouting combines. They're called showcase players. They are concentrating on the things that will get them signed. Velocity for pitchers, hitting the ball a great deal of distance for hitters, running as fast as you can. They don't play structured baseball all that often. So when they get into pro ball, they get injured more in the early stages of their career. I wouldn't take it too seriously at this point. Obviously, you're concerned anytime you find injuries, but you'll see it more with young Latino players playing a professional schedule than you will with guys coming out of college. And quite obviously, look, this is a stressful sport. It's stressful on your body, stressful on your mind. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't. Hopefully, these young players, as they get a bit older, will have that injury bug behind them. We'll have to see. I don't think you can predict it. You just hope that your better talent stays uninjured, because that's the development stage. You want them to get the at-bats. You want them to get the innings pitched. And anything that disturbs that is not good for the player or the organization.
Steve Stone, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You. What do you got? Do you think we're going to finish this series out in Houston? Maybe take three or four. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They seem to play up to their competition, but...
Yeah, we're going to finish this series out, but let's face it, Houston is one of the super teams in baseball. The White Sox are not in their league as far as talent-wise. Yes, they'll finish the series out, but they're not taking three of the last three games.
Steve Stone, always joining us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure. Go on, have a good show, and have a really good weekend.
You too.
All right, there you go. Sponsored by Let Us Entertain You.
Then get to hear a Chicago accent.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll find out what's coming up in the news. Then, of course, the Chicago Accent Challenge at 9 o'clock with Ted McClellan. What do we got coming up in the 9 o'clock news, Steve Grzanich?
From our brand new home,
we're about to witness the greatest miracle of the machine age.
The Allstate Skyline Studio.
Do you hear me? We got to risk a full power start.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman here. Steve is back on Monday. Dave Bennett's here. Mary Vanderbilt's here. Steve Grzanich is here. And Ted McClellan will be here at 9 o'clock to do the Chicago Accent Challenge. We've been doing this on the program for, or here at WGN for a couple months now. It's so fun. People call in with their, you can, from anywhere, and so many different styles. And Ted, who's the linguist who wrote the book, How to Speak Midwestern, will be here. And it's so fun to really get at the core of what makes the Chicago accent. And it's not particular specifically to one neighborhood or another, because winners in the past have come from the suburbs and come from places they grew up that weren't necessarily even in the Chicago area. You could be up in Rockford with a good, nah, you know. It's all about the vowels, people. 312-981-7200. What we do is the winner, we ask a couple of very specific questions, and if those questions are answered appropriately and we can determine that you've got the best Chicago accent, we'll give you Lou Malnati's pizza. And on top of that, you get entered into the year-ender, a tournament against all, it's a tournament of championships. It's like blood sport, but just for Chicago accents, you know.
Okay, so it's not just like blood sport.
It's like blood sport. It's, you're right when you say it's like blood sport, but it's just Chicago accents. Yeah, but we're going to do it on stage in Chicago, and the winner gets $333. That's the grand prize.
How'd you come up with that number?
Ah, it's such a good number, right? Of course, WGN Today, the show's in the house. I know that people are going to be talking about the president. The president spoke in Montana yesterday at a rally. Of course, when he gets in front of a rally for campaign purposes, that's usually when he's going to make news because of the off-the-cuff things that he says. Right now, of course, he was what's blowing up on Twitter and what people are talking about is you know, he went back to his Pocahontas stuff about Elizabeth Warren, senator from Massachusetts, which I just think is old and weird in the way. It's like, I don't know why he continues to have that nickname for her. But the what he did is he mocked the Me Too movement. He was the Washington Post reports that he was imagining himself sparring with Warren on the debate stage. And he told the crowd that he would toss her a DNA kit because of the Native American heritage. But then he said, quote, but we have to do it gently because we're in the Me Too generation. So we have to be very gentle. And then made a throwing motion, said, we'll be very gently. She'll gently take that kit and we'll slowly toss it, hoping it doesn't hit her and injure her arm. You know, hey, he seems to know his crowd pretty well, and he seems to be able to say whatever he wants to say, whenever he wants to say, without any political repercussions. But, you know, the Me Too movement is not about people being too PC. It's about stopping sexual harassment and sexual assault and that culture, which has run rampant for years.
That's usually not a good thing to refer to.
And the idea to sort of mock it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the political win on that. I'm not sure if his base and Republicans are feeling the same way, especially Republican women, that oh, these liberals with their, they got a problem with sexual harassment now. It seems like everyone should have a problem with that.
Shouldn't be a political thing at all.
Right.
And, you know, after listening to this tape a couple of times, Justin, I wonder, did he mean what you said, or did he mean that somebody else was going to do this test on her, and we have to be gentle about it? I mean, it kind of sounded like that.
It's just a very weird thing to say, and it seems like, once again, with the president, he mixed up his words, and it's getting a lot of attention. I will say, he is a master at, the president has been a campaign master at being able to take other political candidates' speeches, think Hillary Clinton when she said deplorables, and be able to use that as a rallying cry. He's doing it right now with Maxine Waters, the congressman out of California, and he continues because she said, you know, people should ostracize or confront Trump administration people like they did in the restaurant. And he's using that as a rallying cry. That's why he continues to go to it, to sort of rally his base. So it'll be interesting to see if other candidates on the Democrat side, they use this to galvanize or to bring people together as an issue, a hotbed issue that would be against Trump. Because the Me Too issue, of course, from a president who has been accused himself, that could be something that could be something that is a last straw, or possibly not do anything like most of the time with the president.
And then on top of this, you saw who he hired as communications director at the White House.
Yeah, the former Fox News.
Who was there covering up all the sexual harassment stuff that was going on at Fox News.
Yeah, and so I just wonder about the optics for him. That's the issue. And again, he's been very strong and been able to say the things he wants to say to his core, and it rallies, and it hasn't affected him. But when you start getting into that and starting to mock a movement, a Me Too movement, I wonder if we'll see anything different. Ted McClellan coming up, Chicago Accent Challenge, 312-981-7200. If you think you've got a great Chicago accent, now is the time to call in. Maybe you can win some prizes. Stay with us.
Steve Cochran,
will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran's back on Monday. Justin Kaufman here, Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeveld, Steve Grzanich. 312-981-7200. And the reason I give the phone number right now is that we are ready to play another installment, another episode, if you will, of the Chicago Accent Challenge. This is something that we have done on the download for a couple of months, I would say. Oh, it's been a while.
It's been a year,
over a year. Ted McClellan is here. He is the author of How to Speak Midwestern, and he is our judge and panel. The idea of this segment is pretty simple. If you think you've got a great Chicago accent, give us a ring. If we, after our investigation, feel that you are the winner, you will get a pizza. And not just that, you will be also entered into the grand prize tournament, which will be on stage later this year. The grand prize is amazing. It's $333.
And a Coast Guard boat.
And a Coast Guard boat.
and don't forget, we got to call it the Chicago accent challenge.
The Chicago.
Yeah, we got to use the old school pronunciation.
Ted McClellan's book is called How to Speak Midwestern. Ted, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me here in the morning.
I know.
See what kind of callers we get in the morning. People
they're already lined up.
People
so
have
good.
Their Chicago accents on at 9 a.m.
All right, so let's first set up the Chicago accent, because we've done this before and we kind of gloss over it. But this is you in your book. You really set up that there are different regions in the Midwest and different accents come from them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chicago is what you call part of the Inland North accent region. And it goes all the way from Rochester, New York on the east to Milwaukee on the west. And it was, you know, settlers migrating along the Great Lakes. So the Chicago accent actually sounds amazingly like the Buffalo accent. You know, they do the D's, them, and do's thing here. They
right.
that sharp raised A, you know, they'll say can. So we talk more in Chicago like people from Buffalo than we talk like people from Peoria.
And there's the stereotypical Chicago accent, the one that you saw on Saturday Night Live with the Chicago super fans, but the dings and do's. That's obviously an exaggerated form, but there is what are the tendencies or what are some of the traits of a Chicago accent that make us different than the rest of the country?
Well, there's that long O sound, you know, in that skit Chris Farley played a character named Todd O'Connor, and then there's that raised A sound, like you say, you know, I want a can of pop. And then there's the, you know, the D's, Dem, and Do's, which you don't hear as much as you used to. You know, one of the things I learned writing this book is that every generation has its own accent. Like, every generation has its own music and its own slang. So, you know, what you call the classic Chicago accent, that was probably at its strongest with the World War II generation, the baby boomers, you know, kind of in the city's industrial heyday. You know, back then, you got out of high school, you didn't need to go to college, you didn't need to even leave your neighborhood to get a job. You know, you worked in the steel mill or wherever, and everybody talked that way. And, you know, nowadays, you got to go to college, you got to maybe move to a different part of the country, and there are people moving to other parts of the country from Chicago. So, you know, if you really want to hear the classic Chicago accent, you got to go maybe to the northwest side, the southwest side, you know, kind of like neighborhoods where there are a lot of city workers, a lot of tradesmen. My favorite place to hear it is a place called Wrong's Tap at 100 and Western.
100 and Western.
Yeah, sports bar at 100 and Western.
100 and Western. All right. So here's what we do. 312-981-7200. We already have the lines lit up, and we have a couple of questions that we have determined.
Yeah.
And we could go through some of those questions. So, you know, obviously you've got some trivia in the book, which is great. And a lot of what will also differentiate Chicago from the rest of the country is the vernacular and the terms. There are some terms that we use.
My book has a whole list of terms that are particular to Chicago and to Illinois.
As 773 just said, over by Dare.
Over by Dare.
That's one that is very Chicago.
Yeah,
but there are other things that come out of your book.
Well, let's see.
And let's not give them away.
We'll ask people these.
All right, let's do this. Let's get right to it. Let's start with Dino. Dino's on the line. Dino, you have a Chicago name. That's a good start. Dino, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Dino, where are you from?
Cicero.
So what parish are you from, Dino?
What's that?
What parish are you from?
What parish am I from?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Chicago term.
I grew up on 35th and Austin.
Okay.
The 35th and Austin. Okay. I'll start it off. Okay, Dino, I'll ask you a question that's pretty simple, and you just answer with your heart. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to Portillo's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'll have 2 beefs, a fry, and a chocolate shake.
All right, that's a good Chicago order.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you another question, Dino. Here we go. How do you get over by your ma's?
You give us directions.
What's that?
You give us directions.
You go down a couple streets, make a right, and it's over there by the 7-Eleven.
All right, Dino, that's good. I don't want to waste all the questions on you, but you got a strong start. Dino is the guy. He set the tone for the Chicago Accent Challenge. Thanks, Dino.
You set the bar.
You set the bar, yes.
If you can match Dino, give us a call.
Let's try Cynthia. Cynthia!
All right, we have a women's division.
Yeah, we do. Chicago Accent Challenge, how are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago. I currently live in Dixon, Illinois, but I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
What parish?
Quite a few, actually, but my last parish was St. Giles.
Okay.
Giles, okay. Let me ask you the same question I asked Dino. How do you get over by your ma's?
You'd have to go east on Wabansia and then go north on Narragansett all the way to Higgins, and Higgins down to Austin, and one block east of Austin, you'd go on Mason Avenue, and you'd be there.
All right.
The Avenue. Do you hear the Avenue on Cynthia's, the way that you say the word Avenue again, Cynthia?
Avenue.
Yeah, there you go. There's that raised A sound.
Yep. And I'll ask the same, if you do win the pizza, Cynthia, from Lou Malnati's, what are you going to get on it?
Sausage, pepper, onions.
There you go. That's good. Strong right there. Very Chicago. And I'll give you the standard, welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Oh, I love a sausage sandwich with green peppers, no red gravy, just all juice.
All right. Cynthia's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, Cynthia.
Dino and Cynthia are going to be tough
to beat. All right. Thanks, Cynthia. That was great.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All business.
All right. Let's do one more before we get the break. Tony.
Another good Chicago name.
Yep. You're on the Chicago.
Yo.
Yo. Where are you from, Tony?
I'm out Portage Park.
Okay. All right, some good Chicago accents.
But I like the priest there over at St. Tecla. I love it.
Okay.
He says the mass nice and in English. I can understand it that way.
Okay, there you go. let me ask you a piece of trivia, Tony. What do you call the area that's between two houses? Like the area
the
right
gangway.
Of course.
Gangway.
There it is. Okay, of good. Of course. So got that down. I'll ask you the same question. Tony, how do you get over?
Come on, I don't have a lot of time. Let's go.
How do you get over by your ma's?
You go down there, and you go to Bobby's house. You turn left, and she's three houses down.
All right. Not too three far. Houses down.
Three
there
houses
you
down.
There you go.
And if you do, let me ask you this food question. What's on a Chicago hot dog?
You got to ask that?
we want to know if you know.
I'll tell you everything but ketchup. That's all I know.
Okay. You know. Drag it through the garden.
Sport peppers.
Yeah, there you go.
Sport peppers for sure. If you don't order the sport peppers, you're not a Chicagoan. If you put ketchup, forget it. Go up to Wisconsin.
Right. <That's> and get a brat.
There you go. So all good right. Start. 312-981-7200. This is fun. And Ted McClellan is here. How to Speak Midwestern is his book. All right, so we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll get some more callers on the line. Tom is waiting. Others are waiting. The texts are coming in as well. 312-981-7200.
All right.
Cynthia and Dino set the tone. They set the bar.
Yeah, I think so.
But if you feel like you can beat them, and I feel like Tony felt he could, and I know that other people are competitive in the Chicago area, hey, you got to give us a call. 312-981-7200. Steve Grzanich, what do we got coming up at 9:30?
Turtles are tying beef and a movie star Tommy B. Back in the damn Buick, cut on WCKG. Caught a song by Glenn Frey in an interview with Dennehy. So I'm driving down Western Ave. Think I'm gonna stop at Zayers. Got a splitting freaking headache, so I popped a couple bears. So I'm back.
72 degrees, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran here. 312-981-7200. We're doing the Chicago Accent Challenge, hence the Serengeti. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. Ted McClellan is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. We're doing the Chicago Accent Challenge, the best accent men and women's category. We'll get you a Lou Malnati's pizza today. So 312-981-7200. Mary Vandeveld, you're in the read of the traffic. You got Ted's attention for your Chicago accent.
Really?
Do people say that you have a Chicago accent?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I get it a lot. I have a hard A sound.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you a couple questions
here. Oh, boy.
What do you call when there's a accident on the expressway?
And a crash?
A crash.
But, I don't say a crash.
And people are slowing down to look at it.
Oh, a gaper's delay?
Yeah.
I didn't say gapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We say gaper's block.
Gaper's block.
Right. Oh, gaper's block. See, I don't say that. I just say gaper's delay.
Gaper's, but that's still a Chicago thing. I don't think they say gaper's anywhere else.
Really?
Yeah. Not that I know of. Rubbernecking is what they usually call it.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Yeah.
That's right. True.
And then I'll ask you, if you were going to get a pizza, if you were going to win this, what would you get on it?
Oh, I would definitely get a sausage, mm-hmm. sausage, green pepper,
yeah,
and mushroom. See,
there
I don't
go, see.
I don't know.
That's very Chicago.
Kind of lay
yeah.
off.
It's, yeah.
I'm going to northern Wisconsin today, and let me tell you.
Yeah.
If you want an accent, you'll go up to northern Wisconsin, eh?
All right, there you go. All right, so here we go. You ready for this? We're going to go rapid fire. I've got Larry, Tony, Phyllis, Tom, and Dwayne.
All right.
Let's get all
them
on all, the line.
Get them all
so let's
on
get
here.
Start with Larry. Larry, where are you from, Larry?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, Larry. Where are you from? What parish are you from?
Well, I grew up in the northern suburb of Skokie.
Okay.
And do people say you have a Chicago accent?
Oh, yeah. I Uber all the time, and people are like, you sound like, you know, they think I have, like, New York, but I sometimes use the these and those and that. I think I listened to Daily a lot back in the day, and I had an uncle who was a Holocaust survivor, and he talked a lot like that.
Okay. Now, aren't you going to have Rahm Emanuel on the show today?
No, not today.
Oh, not today.
He was on last week.
Oh, but he doesn't have a Chicago accent.
No, he doesn't have it as much. Yeah. But okay, so Larry, welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
I like the beef with the peppers and make it juicy.
All right.
Great. All right.
He's got that sound.
All right. I'll give you a Chicago trivia question. Ready for this one? Solozzi Edelson and Chevrolet. Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet, where are you? Yeah.
Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet, you're talking about the slogan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the car dealership?
The slogan. Yeah.
Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet.
Dave knows it. Dave Ennett knows it.
I know it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Not sure on that one.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the call. Tony, welcome to the show, the Chicago Accent Challenge. Where are you from?
Oh, from the east side. How are you guys doing?
Ah, oh, there you great. Go. Great. East side, yeah.
All right, Tony. We're
the real east side, right? East of the Calumet River.
Right. The one up on the lakefront over by 100th Street.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. This is it. Okay, so how do you get over by your mom's house?
Oh, you go down the Avenue L, two blocks underneath the Viaduct, second house on the left.
All right. There you go. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
I'll take a big beef dipped, sweet peppers, large fry, and a Coke.
Okay, great. And then I'll also ask you, Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet, where are you?
Always save more money.
All right. Oh, there you go. Points
Tony,
for
Tony. That's pretty good.
Points for Tony.
Points for Tony. Phyllis. Phyllis, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge. Where are you from, Phyllis?
Chicago, originally.
Yeah.
Okay. What parish?
St. Philip Benizi, originally.
Okay.
Then we moved around St. Columbacule.
Okay, great. How do you get over by your mom's?
I used to take the Kennedy. Okay.
All right. Welcome to Portillo's.
Straight going west.
Okay. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
I'd like a salad with vinaigrette dressing.
That's it for Phyllis.
Yeah, no, she ordered a salad. She's out.
Salad's out. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you, Phyllis. I love you to death.
This is
thank
Chicago.
You
got to have something with meat in it.
We're running out of time, and salad just ain't going to fit the bill. Tom, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
Good morning. I'm Tom, but my friends call me Tommy. You can call me Tommy.
Okay, all right.
Tommy.
Just the name Tom with that long O, that gets you a
Tommy,
head start.
16-inch or 12-inch?
Oh, you got to go big. Got to go big. Large.
Yeah. And what's the name of the ball?
It's softball. It's the only ball.
The brand name.
Spalding. Wilson.
No. Yeah. Clincher.
Yeah,
that might do it. Tom, I'll give you one question here. How you get over by your mouse?
Okay, I'm originally from Roseland, so you got to go down 95th, about a half a mile.
Yeah.
And then cut north by the mailbox over there, and she's right on the corner over by
there. There you go. All right. Thanks, Tom.
He said cut north.
All right. And Dwayne, welcome to Chicago Accent Challenge. Where are you from, Dwayne?
How you doing? Bridgeport.
Oh, yeah. I could tell right away.
So what parish are you in, Bridgeport?
St. Barb's.
Okay.
Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah, give me two dogs, everything, and big beef.
Big beef.
No peppers.
Yeah.
All right. And how do you get over by your mom's?
Yeah, she just lives two, three blocks away.
All right. I got one question for you. There's a game that you play by you throw a ball against a wall, and it bounces back, and you get a certain number of points for where it lands. What do you call that in Bridgeport?
Fast pitch.
All right. See, and on the north side, it's pinners.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And then my last question would be the last one for the Chicago Accent Challenge. What's the name of the, in modern religion, what's the name of the deity in the Bible that's the main overlord?
Say it again.
What's the name of, in the Bible, in religion, what's the name of the deity that is considered the overlord?
Well, I'm not too sure.
This might be my question. Yeah. I'm just trying to get a god out of you.
Yeah. We're on a in the Blues Brothers movie, they're on a mission from who?
On a mission from God.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Dwayne. I love that. That's the better way to get God than the Bible. Talking about the Bible.
People know the Blues Brothers. They don't know the Bible. Yeah.
Ted McClellan is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. Okay, so as we wrap up here, I think we got to go. I mean, looking at the list, there's some great stuff, especially at the end there. Tommy and Dwayne. But Dino from Cicero started off real strong.
Yeah.
I know we have to do men's and women's.
Right. The women,
the women, Cynthia. I mean,
yeah, Cynthia for sure.
Cynthia wins overall. Only because when I asked Cynthia how to get to her ma's, she went into detail.
Yeah.
She even threw up the avenue, which was great. And I will give her a lot of credit for doing so. So let's give Cynthia one of the pizzas, Lou Maldonado's. Right. And should we do Dino since he started us off?
Sure.
Or would you say Tommy?
I like the last guy too, but...
your call.
Let's see.
Dwayne, Tommy, or Dino?
Let's see. Let's give it to... I give it to Dwayne.
Dwayne, look
from
at that.
From Bridgeport.
Dwayne from Bridgeport wins out, beats Dino at the last minute, and Cynthia beats them all with her great
performance. Because I could tell he was from Bridgeport the moment he opened his mouth.
I love it.
Yeah.
Ted McClellan, Chicago Accent Challenge. We do it as often as we can, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the idea. great to see you. Thanks for coming in today, bud.
Thank you.
Fun Chicago Accent Challenge. Dave Bennett, do people say that you have a Chicago accent?
They do not.
No.
They do not.
Trained in radio.
Well, yeah, partly that. Partly I grew up on the East Coast.
Oh,
but I've been
okay.
here 40-some years, so yeah, I think at some point...
Yeah. Would you ever find yourself slipping into it? When you're like, I can really go for it.
When I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And Lauren Zima's going to join us from Entertainment Tonight. We'll get the latest in entertainment, and we'll wrap up. So stay with us.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king. Just for a while.
941 here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here, Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanich. Steve Cochran will be back on Monday. He's up in upstate New York. Did the old car trip. He went on a road trip, Dave. While you were in Norway, he's taking the Tahoe on the road.
Yeah, but I was going to say white lightning, but
you don't have to.
Yeah, right. But love road trips like
that. Yeah. I know. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it because it's something I want to do this summer. I still am negotiating it with the family, and I'm now in the moment where I'm truncating the original plans. There was this idea to do a really big one. Now I'm pulling out.
How
so
truncated?
Are you going now to Peoria?
Yeah. Exactly. Like they got a nice little little festival in Libertyville, so we're gonna roll up there and then roll back.
You were going to Yellowstone. You had this whole route planned out. It just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
So true. We just may go to Woodfield Mall.
Yeah,
check that out for a day.
Mall of America.
Trip. Yeah, there you go. Well, that would be good.
It's cool.
Yeah. Right. All right, let's bring in Lauren Zima. Lauren, of course, with Entertainment Tonight. She joins us when Dean Richards is out, and she joined us yesterday, Chicagoan. Lauren, good to talk with you. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, good morning, guys. I've got a huge trip planned to Joliet coming up all the way from California. I can't wait.
I would do that. That would be a great trip back and forth. For you, yesterday we ended the segment talking about the Kardashians, and they show up again. Khloe Kardashian really getting back into the swing of Instagram with a very revealing photo. This, of course, I don't know what the time has been, a month or two since the birth of her child. Talk about how important it is that Khloe Kardashian's back flaunting.
Well, you know, the Kardashian fans, I get all tongue-tied talking about Khloe because she's my favorite. They love Khloe because she has always been really honest about her journey to feeling good about her body. You know, when you've got a sister, Kendall Jenner, who's literally a supermodel, and Kim has always been all about her bod, as we well know. Khloe was sort of the more relatable Kardashian, and she has that show Revenge Bod on E! So her going from baby bod to back pre-baby is kind of a big social media moment for her. So she wears this skin-tight, neon orange little short jumpsuit that is actually from her brother-in-law Kanye West line. She captioned the picture, Yeezy Season 7. Got to keep supporting all those family businesses. And she looks great.
She does look great, and that's expected, but it has been something that she hasn't been on as much since the birth of her son, I believe is True, right? That's her name, True? Is
her
son?
Her daughter, True, yeah.
Sorry,
actually,
I gotta get up on my Kardashians.
It's okay. True's a pretty unisex name, and really it wasn't even a name before they made it a name, was it?
Yeah, right.
So, she's been pretty quiet. The thing is, of course, more so that when she was in the very late stages of her pregnancy, all those rumors and reports came out about her partner, Tristan Thompson, cheating on her with many women. So she's laid pretty low, but they seem to be working on things because they were together for the 4th of July. All of our source reporting is saying that, you know, they're working on things. They're seeing where things go. Of course, True is her priority right now, but they spent the 4th together and they had a big party. It was their second annual blowout at her house.
And she seemed to be enjoying herself. You know, she deserves this. She had wanted to be a mom for such a long time. And she's finally enjoying that with her little baby girl and throwing some parties and getting back in the swing of things. So I'm excited for when she first opens up about it all in a big interview or something.
Yeah, I have to say, I am a Kardashian fan. I do like the family and what they've done. I whenever I bring that up, the textures will go crazy. They seem to be the most polarized celebrity family in history, even more than
they Jackson's. Are. But, you know, we love and we hate to click on stories about them, but we do it, don't we? And I appreciate it, guys, because it pays my salary.
Well, here's my question, because I was watching yesterday. I think there was a promo for the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, a new season. But they essentially said, for all the, if you want the real story, here's the show's coming out. And I think that they were talking about the idea that there's a lot of media out there that will report on the family. And if you want the real story and the behind the scenes look, just watch the show. But when I watch a show, I always feel like the real story is the media, meaning the show is a pretty contrived or at least orchestrated Kardashian brand on message product. And so the idea of getting the real story about a celebrity family, I think it's weird to say that you get it from their actual reality show.
I 100% agree with you on that. I think the real story, as always, lies somewhere between the many stories. You know, it's like you've got her story, his story, and somewhere in the middle is the truth. And with the Kardashians, it's the media, it's social media, it's their show, and somewhere in the middle of all that is the truth. Because you have to remember that they're pretty much all named as producers, executive producers on the show at this point. So you're getting the curated version of their truth, which, you know, I guess anybody's truth is what you want it to be for yourself, right. To some extent, but that's what they give you, is they're producing it, they're calling all the shots, especially after years of being on E, you know, they renegotiate those contracts and make sure that they have a lot of say in what is ultimately put out there.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some other issues. Kelly Coco came out, and she was married, and I guess for a honeymoon, she has shoulder surgery. That's in the news right now, that she did a picture on social media from a hospital bed. So what do you know about that?
How about that? Yes, our own E.T. is a CBS property. She's our own Big Bang Theory girl. We love Kaylee, and Kaylee is out of shoulder surgery at this point. She's doing well. We don't know the details. She had really not mentioned it beforehand, and she probably just wanted to focus on her wedding and getting through that and making sure that everything was okay and fun with that big party, because she's been with this guy for a little while now. But basically, she has shoulder surgery, and she's done nothing but make fun of it the whole time, which we appreciate. She said on Instagram that her husband would be using every moment of her recovery to a comedic advantage, and so far that's happened. He posts a video of her snoring, says, "I love you, babe, but wow," posts videos and photos of her right in the hospital bed. So she seems to be fine. We are not 100% sure on if this was planned or more of an emergency type of surgery, but overall she seems okay, and you know, perhaps most importantly, other than her health, is that the wedding went off without a hitch, and those two seem really in love.
There you go. All right, and Heather Locklear back in the news, because this was last week that she got in an altercation with the EMT and the police that showed up on a wellness call for her after her family was concerned about her mental health. Now the EMT is lawyering up.
Yes, those are the reports that we're hearing, that he reportedly is unable to do the work he would normally do. He's seemingly been reassigned to kind of a desk job, allegedly because of injuries that Heather gave him from kicking him or hitting him, reportedly some injuries to his neck. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's been a really, really rough past several weeks for Heather, and it's always really painful and heartbreaking to see when somebody's family is at that point of, you know, needing to call in authorities because of their concern for their well-being. So things are very up and down right now, and, you know, I think the last thing she probably needs is a lawsuit, but when somebody's, you know, unable to work, and that's according to him, I can imagine they'd lawyer up, so we'll see what happens there.
Lauren Zima is with Entertainment Tonight. She joins us here regularly, I would say semi-regularly, when Dean's out on the Cochran Show. Lauren, a Chicago native, always great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
You guys, thanks so much for having me, and I want to say enjoy your weekend. You know, I am usually so happy to be here in Southern California because of the weather, especially in the old Chicago winters. But it's going to be 110 today. Oof. 110.
72
so you enjoy
degrees
yourself.
Right now. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thanks, have a Lauren. Great weekend,
Take
you guys.
Care. All right, there you go. Lauren Zima filling in for Dean today. Did you get all your Kardashian news?
Yeah, I got enough, because I kind of got behind in the Kardashian news while I was in Norway. So now I feel caught up.
Aren't they in Norway too?
Oh, maybe,
you would think.
You would think. Maybe they're with Dave. They're
not traveling in the same circles, yeah, right. Mayor.
Oh, that's good.
The Arctic circles.
Exactly.
All right, let's do this. Let's find out what's coming up in the 10 o'clock news. Steve Bertrand.
Walker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
How great was it that in the Chicago Accent Challenge that I can get someone to say God by giving him a Blues Brothers quote as opposed to quoting from the Bible? That's so good. That's
good, but not surprising.
Not surprising. All right. You know what I wanted to talk about today, and I realized because of the time difference in China. Did you see the story about the vessel, the shipping vessel that was a freighter that was racing to China to beat the trade tariffs? There was one vessel that was coming out of the U.S. that was heading to China with soybeans, and they had put a tracker on it to track if it was going to make it to the Chinese port before the tariff began. And so they had actually sped up. They wanted to get to China as fast as they possibly could, so they would avoid this now, which was going to be a huge tariff because they started today. And because of the time shift, I think they didn't make it. I need to look. That might be a good story for you, Bill.
This sounds like the world's worst video game, doesn't it? What did we have that? Yeah. Beat the tariff.
I would have put some bets on it. Did anyone bet?
There was a whole tracker, and there were blogs that were following it, like where it was located.
Really?
And it was off the coast. The last I checked, it was off the coast of South Korea.
You know what? They stopped to look at the sunken meteor.
Oh. It did, right?
That's going to use up some time.
Out, but maybe you can get your crack news stat.
Yeah, we'll get somebody on that. Yeah.
And find out if it made it or not.
We got an investigative team. We'll send Zuckman.
There you go. Yeah,
she'll take care of it.
So we got someone in the newsroom. No problem. Yep. Not me, this, of course, but.
Look at this crew. Judy Pilak and Bill Leff in studio. So you're in for Wendy, or are you just here to keep Bill in line?
Yes, that's exactly. Both. Wendy is not here, but I'm just here.
All right, good.
Because no one really fits her shoes.
Yeah. Hey, Judy, you didn't even stop in the newsroom. Say hi.
I just got here.
Gee.
I'm trying to be a little bit like Wendy. Totally hands down your Chicago accent.
You did?
What?
Yeah. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yeah. A sausage with no peppers and a beef double dipped.
There you go.
Here, and it's not so much about the accent as it is about what you know.
Style.
But here's a great trivia question. So when you're little growing up in Chicago and you don't call your friends on the phone to come out and play, you could do what?
You yell out the back door. No?
You go stand in front of their house and you say this.
Name,
like,
right?
I would always go to my friend Karen's house, so I would say, yo, Karen, like 10 times. Either she would come out or her mom would.
But it
Everyone
had to have a melody
that.
Like Everybody, that?
It was yo, and then if no matter how many syllables, it was two.
Dave.
That. That's amazing.
Like Dave.
Dave. Yeah, you couldn't just say, yo, Dave. It had to be a sing-song.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I just did Red Rover, Red Rover. Can Karen come
I'm
over?
Pretty sure they text Judy.
Now they do.
We had a phone. Yeah. We would never
okay,
be allowed
one,
to use
here's,
that.
Here's one that was texted in. Dave knew the answer to this. But the what did they used to call the toll booth?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I know
didn't
the
know
answer
it either,
to that.
But,
maybe I made
the
it
changer?
Up.
What,
no?
The cash box?
That's it.
Cash box.
Very nice.
The cash box.
You just nailed it. You said a cash box?
When would that have been? When did they call toll booths cash box? I don't remember that at all.
I feel like we didn't even have toll booths.
Well, you know, back when we traveled on horseback, Bill, of course, you had to put the coins in the box.
It's a basket,
if you had a cart,
actually.
It was per wheel.
Right.
It's a cash basket.
Cash basket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of it's so fun. There's so many questions to ask that can get the Chicago out of people.
Do you remember for a long time if you went to a toll booth and you were throwing your money in, there was like rock stickers.
Yeah,
I don't know who was doing that. I don't think it was the bands themselves.
It was like their fans.
REO Speedwagon. I just wanted to give my money and pass by.
It was such a more fun era, you know?
Yes.
Look at stickers.
The
you
toss.
Could throw those fake coins in. They went right through.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. With the
or
open
you could
tolling.
Just drive through and not pay.
Yeah, the open tolling.
Nothing happened.
It's really ruined the,
ruined
the local band sticker.
All this technology,
production.
It's ridiculous.
Ruined everything.
But it's
everything.
Really sped things up, though.
Oh,
that's what I'm told, Dave.
When people go to the cash lane, I'm like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You don't have a transponder? It's crazy.
I had a friend who purposely avoided the transponder because he believed that technology would be technology that would, not unlike your cell phone, be able to track you wherever
you go. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm not doing it. So he would purposely go to the cash box. And then they start doing that thing where it's more.
Yeah, it's a lot more.
A lot more.
Yeah. And so he's just like, you got to be kidding me. They really want my info.
But he's onto something because you know what's coming next. Speed.
Right.
We're going to be tracking our speed right through that.
I agree with you. I believe with all of it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You see people slow down going through the open road tolling,
right?
Where they read the transponder, everybody hits the brakes
yeah,
like they're
they
being
think,
timed.
Exactly, and they probably are. But, and at some point, why wouldn't, you know?
But the timing wouldn't
police
come in exactly where they're tolling you.
You wouldn't think so.
It's from spot to spot that they'd be able to easily figure out how long.
I'm way past you on this. I believe that it'll be the automobile producers that will put some sort of technology in the car that says when you go over a speed limit, you automatically are, that information is sent to police.
Well, have an insurance company's kind of
toyed with that idea. Well, I will
never
buy that car, ever. I will go back to horseback then.
Judy's still driving a Packard from the 1940s.
I grew up in Chicago,
Haven't they? Insurance companies have toyed with this idea for a while, right? Of tracking things like that.
They want to, of course. But I wonder. I'm just surprised it hasn't happened. That's my surprise.
Yep. So,
well, what do you guys got on the show today?
Josh Gondelman, who is a writer for Last Week Tonight for John Oliver's show. We've had him on in the past. He's very, very good. And Alexander Zelbin from The Decider. It's a TV website. He'll be on with us also.
Awesome. Yeah, lots to talk about. All right. Well, have a great weekend and have a great show.
Thanks, guys.
Used
to. Appreciate it. We will. Used to. Very Chicagoese.